Okay, I am super excited. Last night was the first ever passion workshop with my dear friend, and you guys have heard me mention him over the years so many times. And in fact, you've been on this podcast, Sammy.
A few times.
But it's been a hot second.
It has been a hot second.
And we've been working on things behind the scenes and all this stuff. So last night was the first ever Passion Workshop. And the Passion Workshop was really all about, I really wanted to introduce you to many people who have listened to this podcast and followed my journey, because you've just helped me so much in my career and life to really find out what it is that I love giving to the world and how I can serve others. And then in turn, it serves me because I'm living my truest dream.
Yeah. And I think, you know, what was so exciting about last night is seeing that same essence, that same vibe, that same kind of honesty and truth that just kind of showed up in so many people. Because as you know, when you first meet someone, you're coming in blind, right? And you're coming in and you're like,
you're nervous, you're tense. Yeah, everyone walks in, they're like,
do I really want to do this?
Right.
Am I really doing this?
Right.
But something's kind of tugging and poking at you. And what I was so grateful for is that we had so many people that just, I felt like everyone opened up and shared.
Oh,
and as we got into the questions, just, you know, and that's what I love about this work. That's what I've loved about working with you, is that we all have kind of put ourselves in a box in our life, you know, from old beliefs, limiting beliefs, religious doctrine, all these rules that we've put on ourselves or others have put on us that we kind of carry forward like baggage, right? It's like we're going on a trip and we're carrying 22 suitcases with us into every moment we go to. And then suddenly, as we just kind of turn this over and say, we want to remove that box and just have a moment to serve now. Like, what's showing up? What are you curious about? What is like poking at you deep? What's that secret voice in you that keeps whispering something and you're still stuck in a process or a 12-step program or rules that
right.
we just want to remove? And what was so amazing is just, you know, watching, you know, people walk in very apprehensive at first, which is human nature. And then by the time we started getting through a lot of the interactivity, which is a big part of this, the whole idea is just questions and reflection and ways to just look at yourself with a little different language, new context, so that you can say, oh my gosh, this thing has always kind of existed in me, but I never knew there was really a door there. I kind of may have felt the knocking or the pulling or the tugging. And all we want to do is say, there's a door to open. And then you watch them as the questions start to go deeper and deeper. And then suddenly they start smiling. And then suddenly they go, oh my gosh. And they have a little bit of a piece of not even realizing this is me. And we point it out to them. And then they go, oh, well, I see 1,400 different ways to go, to go do this now. And to me, that is the most gratifying thing in the world, is to watch someone smile when you can't hide any longer. You're like, oh, I'm so happy. And that's what last night was all about.
Oh, my God. And the stories, you know, were just so open and vulnerable. And you're talking about things, stigmas or things in people's past. And I won't use anyone's name, but I love the woman who basically said she was the youngest and her family always kind of treated her like this wild, you know, she wasn't going to amount to anything. And, you know, her dad recently told her, like, he was shocked that she wasn't doing 30 years to life. Yeah. I was like, oh my God. But, you know, all those people say those things to us throughout our lifetime. And lots of times they take on great meaning and the party stops, or that, you know, your truest self kind of gets put in a box because you think, oh, I shouldn't act that way.
Well, you just accept those things instead
you
of challenge them,
yeah.
right? And that's a big part of what we talked about is I talk about one of the stories I always love is I have a dear friend named Brian Gonzalez, who's in the, he's a director and just one of the most brilliant kind of creative, imaginative minds that does these art installations and movies and music videos. But he and I did this wonderful ayahuasca journey together right after the election. And of course, you know, whether you're, you know, right, left, like Trump, hate Trump, whatever
right.
it may be, you know, irrelevant. It was more the world was kind of in chaos at that point because we had just had this huge thing and this decision happen. And everyone was like, what does that mean? So we went to this ayahuasca journey and it was just so negative to start. Everyone's like, the world's ending, the sky's falling. And you know, and I'm like, oh my gosh, maybe I picked the wrong weekend to show up
to
here because it's
ceremony.
So terrible.
Right.
But as we got into this meditation, we kind of come out, and he and I started a conversation together, and we just started kind of really surrendering to this curiosity of chaos. Mm. And what came from that is this wonderful conversation of talking about how chaos is always expanding. It's always growing. It's always around us. And the problem happens is we constantly try to box that chaos in.
Right.
We'll box it instead of serving it and seeing, like, taking our passion and our curiosity and that unique perception we have of the world and just serving it to see where it goes. But most people, that's what happens, is that our parents give us something, our teachers, our religion, our own thinking. We take on those limiting thoughts and beliefs and we just put them in a box. And wow. Then we go from corner to corner. It's like an old attorney friend of mine that was in a corporate job that he hated. He would go there every day, made terrific money, but it was soul sucking for him.
Right.
And he would always say to me, it's like, you know, I just don't know a way out. It's like going from corner to corner to corner to corner to corner to corner to corner.
That's so hard. Right? And I've been there. And
we all do that. Right.
We've all been there, right? You're making amazing money and you have people on the outside telling you, why would you ever leave this job? You're never going to make that much money again. People don't make this much money. You need to stay there. I mean, you and I have had this conversation many times. And even when I left 107.3, I tell this story all the time. You remember, they offered me $195,000 to stay on middays. And I can remember my agent, my entertainment, all these people calling me and going, nobody makes $195,000 to do a midday show.
That's right.
Take this job. Why are you? You can't say no.
Yeah.
You were the only person that was like, you need to say no. Like, this is soul sucking. You know, how is Hey Frage ever going to grow to anything goes to entertain and inspire in a box?
Exactly. And I think, you know, you took the big plunge, as some people do. Some people jump off that cliff. And we're not saying you need to jump off a cliff per se. If that's the right thing for you as it was for you, then absolutely go for it. But your passion is something that could start out as a hobby. One of the people last night talked about volunteering with animals and pets, and you could just see this beautiful love in them for helping and giving back from a standpoint of a passion of nurturing things and people and animals. And I thought, oh, how amazing, because this isn't like, hey, you're suddenly going to have a podcast and take off. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't,
right.
But you may find that in your passion, there's a wonderful way to give it a purpose to serve so that you can do that in many ways. And then that's the idea. You know, as we talked about last night, really what we've, you know, kind of given it a structure, you know, and I use structure loosely, but the structure is more of a compass than a box. And a compass works very simply by there's a force that you don't quite understand that's kind of pointing you in the right direction when you're using that instrument or tool to kind of figure out where you're going. And it kind of is your true north in that sense.
Yeah,
what passion is just to use that as your true north, not to kind of point someplace and say, this is absolutely the end all be all, but to say, let's see where this takes me as I'm walking north.
And I think that's a good thing to say is like, no, it's not for everyone to jump off, but you know, you and I, and a lot of people probably know our story. We talked about it last night, but you were my first radio boss and you really got me my first on-air radio gig in Washington, D.C. in a major market. I was only like 25 years old. I had no experience. And I think, you know, I know I was the assistant producer, but I think too, I was on with Burke Allen briefly. And I remember you coming in the studio and you were like, was that you? And you were like, you really sound, there's something there. You were like, you really, I'm going to call Jim Russ over at Metro Networks. You need to apply for that job.
Yeah.
And that was really how it started. And then, of course, we've stayed friends and really reconnected about 5 years ago when I came to New York.
Right.
And the first time we met up again, you were just like, there's something about you. We have to talk about what this is. Because I had sort of jumped off the cliff and left 99.5 without knowing you, you know, without really connecting with you. And then over the years, you've kind of helped me guide it. But I've always had, since I reconnected with you and even before that, I've had that pulling, like my compass has always been like, okay, you have to do that. You've got to figure this out on your own. You know, you've got to be that performer that you've always wanted, that talk show. So it's not for everyone, but like the 107.3 gig, the compass was so pulling, you know what I mean? It was just so there. So I think you have to work on that and then know yourself when you're ready to jump.
Well, and it's also like getting beyond the box again, right? It's what we talked about, is that we kind of have these little tugs and pulls and we think, okay, well, where's the box? Can I move from one box to another?
Right.
That's kind of what happens, right? Can I jump off the cliff? And when we met, it was a great example of you absolutely had that pulling and that tugging, but you you were like, you know, I bungee jumped once, and I always say it's like bungee jumping, you know, the jump down is quick. I thought it was going to be the worst part, but it was really the spring back up when there's no gravity, because you're just reaching out in the air for anything to grab onto, and there's nothing there. And that's what happens to most people, is they get so miserable and they go, I'm doing this. And then they jump and they go, I don't really know why I jumped. And then they get in trouble. So it's like, you know, don't get yourself in trouble. The idea here with this kind of passion code that we're talking about is there's a code deeper in that. There's an essence. There's a great intention in it that you're going to bring to life that only you, it's a language only you know, a verbal code. Your anything goes is a verbal code that people can go, oh, well, anybody can say that. Well, yeah, absolutely. But it doesn't mean anything to them the way it means to you.
Exactly.
Because of the way that you grew up and the way that the environment you grew up in influenced that, and you built a culture, your mother built a culture of anything goes, and you're like, oh, well, here's a great intention that I can use to really provide a purpose to serve and now give myself a halo to connect in many ways, not just one way. So when I do take that cliff jump, I've got options. I've got flexibility. I'm not now like, holy shit, what did I just do?
Right.
I'm stuck.
Exactly.
And that's what most people do, because they're like, where's the new box? Where's the new job? Where's the new role? Where's the new skill? And all those things are important.
Right.
But what we're saying is just to take away the box, serve what's that greater essence that's been poking you your entire life, probably before you can remember.
Oh my God, since I was like 8 years old, right? So tell me this, you know, a couple things before we get into, there was lots of exercises last night that really helped people open up and get this conversation going. But we hear a lot in our society about passion, right? Like how to find your passion. But the thing that I love about you is it's much deeper than just, hey, this is your passion. Like, so tell me what the difference is between like a lot of, you talk self-help books and just like, hey, getting a book that's like a 5-step program. So what's the difference between like what you do and you've done with me versus just like buying a book about how to follow your passion?
Yeah, well, and I think there's a lot of good ideas. There's clues in everything. And that's the idea, is how do you serve that moment to say, I've got this unique curiosity that has been tugging me and pulling me. Why did I just spend 2 hours researching something on Google? Well, those are the kind of things to pay attention to. Those are the doors. All those books, all those TED Talks, all those programs, all those seminars. We talked about one of the women last night had done the Landmark Forum, which I've also done.
I never heard about that.
Which is, and it started back in the 70s. It was called EST and has had a good long history of helping a lot of people. But it also brings the disciplines together of Buddhism and a number of things to really kind of get into, you know, opening yourself. And that's the idea, is that it's not, you know, we said last night, one size fits none.
I love that. That's my new favorite saying.
Yeah, one size fits none, because we think that, oh, I can follow this with this one book, this program. But I've read hundreds and hundreds of self-help books. I've watched so many videos. I went to so many seminars. I've had many teachers that were formal teachers, and then also people that I just met
just
in
like
a bar
in
or a coffee shop. And I just became open enough to have more precise focus and attention to say, you know, they tickled something in me when they said something or they showed me something, that there's that little tickle there that goes, ooh, like pay attention.
And that's what too started with me with mindful eating, is mindful eating is the whole practice. There is no diet that works for everyone. You know, what you eat every day is different than what I eat, is different than somebody else. But we're taught like, oh, if you just follow this Atkins diet and you just don't eat carbs, you'll lose weight and you'll be fine. And you're like, no one's body is like that. And it's the same thing with finding your truest intention and living your dream. It's a message that only you carry, only you know.
Absolutely. And that's we're seeing a lot of that in the world, because for the longest time, again, these are old ideals of whether it was, you know, schooling, institutions, corporations, there's all these rules. And we spend our, you know, I have kids and I always think about how amazing it is that a lot of times in the school systems now, they only teach to the test, right? They want you to be in a box. They want to say that we've got these yearly tests that are dependent on doing good for the whole school, not just one kid, for us to get funds for
That's
everything that we're doing.
Crazy.
So really now what we've done is we've turned the mentality reality into saying, how can I pass the test, right? And a lot of those 12-step programs and all those things, while many great ideas in those, we get so focused on how can I master the box instead of opening it and really serving myself in a way that, oh, there was a step in that program that I can use for myself, and I find it very helpful and useful. Maybe not the other 11, but that one is great. So now, how can I take many parts from many different places and put it into a big pot like ingredients in soup, but I have the recipe that's going to make that taste best?
So let's do like a couple of the exercises that you did last night. And these were so simple. And what Sammy was telling everyone throughout the night, and I thought this was a good, and I did this exercise when Sammy and I first reconnected. You tell people to start paying attention to the words that people say about you, meaning like with me, like, and you use the example of going to your LinkedIn profile and looking at the recommendations that people write for you and pulling certain words that repeat, right?
Yeah, it's really simple. It's a little quick way to kind of find out a real position or a place, right? Is go to your LinkedIn profile. You've got recommendations from friends and coworkers and former bosses and colleagues, and just copy and paste those, and then just Google a word cloud, Wordle. There's a bunch of them out there. They're free. And then just put all of them in together at the same time and just hit process. And you'll see what happens in a word cloud is the words that are used most often are going to blow up the largest. And you may learn something that you completely agree with this, or you may be like, oh, well, that's a little surprising. Now, typically when it comes to LinkedIn, it is a little more of a box because of your job.
So it's business, right?
It's business.
Right.
So, you know, keep that in mind. But you could do the same thing with your own writing. You know, go back and find things you've written in your diary or written to yourself over the years.
Oh, yeah.
Put those in a word cloud and see what words you've used most often, because I'm going to bet you, I'm certain of it actually, that there are words that you don't even realize that there has a frequency in you that keeps coming up over and over and over again.
Oh my God, you know what? That reminds me, like, I'm going to go to my Facebook page, which people have reviewed, or the reviews for my podcast, and find the words that people have said.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so good. Okay, take us through the first exercise, one of the exercises you did last night, and tell us, you know, how that begins to help you.
Yeah, and really the idea here is just about an opening, right? And that's the part where, you know, a lot of this passion workshop is really kind of just being passionate. We play music, we do things to loosen you up.
So good.
We have questions.
Oh my God, I died.
Right, 'cause the idea is that we got to get out of our own way first, because most of us, that's half of the battle, is that we're just in our own way. So what we want to do is just kind of open up this kind of new attention so that you can see, you know, there's a door there that I can open that's been calling me for the longest time. So one of the first questions we ask is, you know, talk about a feeling. What do you love when someone does it for you? And then what are you best at in doing it for others? What is that feeling, that essence that comes out, you know, that lives in between those two questions? Because what I have found in doing this for a number of years and a number of people now is there's a glue that's kind of unifying something between those two that you can say, you know, I just light up. I love it. I'm so satisfied when I get a feeling from someone that really is in unison with a feeling I give back.
What are those for you? Because, you know, you asked me that last night, and I was like, oh, you know, you asked all of us, and I was like sitting there for a long time. I really couldn't think of what the thing is that other people do for me that I love until this morning. And I woke up and I thought, you know, what are the things I love? One of the things I love most about our friendship is I always discover something new from you, you know, and it's the same with Robin Mize, my mindful eating therapist, or, you know, you read an article and someone puts a twist on a relationship situation that you never read. And I'm like, oh, I love that. You know, I love that. And then, you know, and of course I'm an entertainer. Like, I love when people laugh. I love when people say, oh my God, you know, listening to you or watching you has helped me through life issues and get over it. I'm like, that I love, you know, you're doing something right. But it took me a while.
Well, it does, and that's where you have to be compassionate and patient with yourself, because again, remember, most of us have been taught and learned in a box. It's like, where does this fit? And you have to kind of get out and surrender to yourself and just become, you know, I was telling someone last night that the things that excite me the most are when those things come through me, not from me. It's like, you know, those little tickles that show up. You know, Einstein said, even in creating the theory of relativity, was, it wasn't so much something that came from me as it came through me. It was like, I always say it's like lightning bugs. When you see them light up and you catch one and you just want to hold on to it. That's for me, the process. And it's about, again, my centerpiece is ignite passion on purpose to be my best and belong in the moment. So what I love is when someone gives me a new idea that is passionate, that I go, oh, I see how I can use that, because I've articulated a purpose to say, how can I fill the air with powerful words and inspiring ideas to create freedom, confidence, and choice? Like, I want to be free. It's about freedom to be able to serve and not just box. So you've, again, this is years in the making, as you have said as well, but you know, you have to start somewhere, because frequency, we talked about this last night. It's frequency. Just the way we said you're going to uncover those most frequent words in a word cloud, it's the same idea in your own consciousness, your own attention, your own precise focus is getting to a point to where the first time, you know, we used the infomercial idea last night, is saying, you know, the first time you see one of those commercials, you ignore it. By the 20th, 30th time, you're like, you know what? Maybe this MyPillow is right for
me.
I need that damn MyPillow, right? Yeah. But we do the same with ourselves. Is that as we become more aware and we become more precise focus of choosing ourselves and not someone else, because what most people will do is look for validation outside of them. It's just like when you left, we're leaving Mix 107.3, every person around you was like, what are you thinking? Right. And most people, that would scare the shit out of them. And they'd be like, you know what? They're right. I've got to go back and play safe and be in the box. Yeah. And maybe you will, maybe you won't. But the idea here is to give yourself the flexibility and the freedom to really follow your passion. Right. And as we said last night, all we want to do in this kind of passion outcome is have you make passion the pause. The pause is usually the validation from someone else, that old thinking, those limited beliefs that go, oh, I'm putting something in front of me that becomes a facade that I show to the world, instead of opening up to the fact that I can make passion the pause. And now when I know what causes me, I have more control than I've ever had before.
Oh, love. Yeah. And you know what I thought was so great too is, you know, the more you get to know yourself and your passions, every woman, and there was one man there last night, everybody had themes that I could completely relate to, you know, not saying no because they didn't want to disappoint or upset a client. Yeah. You know, I loved the woman who was the interior decorator who said that, you know, she had a really strong vision of what a home should look like, but she always ended up compromising because it was like, well, this is what the client wanted, you know? And you really start getting us on the path of thinking about, work on your talent, work on that passion that ignites you, that thing. And that begins to create the confidence to then have you be unreasonable.
Yeah.
And unreasonable doesn't mean you don't say yes to anything. It means that you don't say yes to the projects that really are not right for you.
That's right. That's right.
It's trusting that the next project will be even better.
Yeah. And
that's hard. That's
more importantly, though, it gives you the opportunity and the ability to be unreasonable.
Right.
Because you're able, you know, one of our interior, we had two interior decorators there last night, which was really interesting. But one, you could tell, had really this limiting belief of being in a box, right? It was never saying no. Because we're afraid to say no.
Because, I can relate.
Because when you say no, like, it becomes conflict. It becomes hurt, you know, because a lot of us, I mean, for me growing up, when I said no to my mom, she spanked me. And I was like, I don't want that to happen because, shit, that hurts.
Right.
Right? So we get caught up in this idea that's almost a self-defense mechanism that we've used our whole life to say, you know, I have learned through my own experience that when I say no to people, there are bad outcomes. And what this does is open that up to give you that confidence in loving yourself in a way to say, I can be unreasonable. It's not what I can do. It's what I don't do that will make the difference, that people will start to anticipate me in a way of knowing that they are going to be the best and belong in the moment.
And we all know people that have mastered it and they're addicting to be around. And it doesn't matter if they're an asshole or they're not, you know, there's something about them that you love. Artists, I always think, are very good at that.
Completely.
You know, or Frank Lloyd Wright. I love his example. Like, you were paying for him to design a home the way he fucking wanted to design the home.
That's right.
It wasn't that you got to weigh in. It was like, you want my brilliance, you pay, and then you leave me alone, and I do what I do, and here's your home.
Yeah.
Like, I used to, right. I love him. Like, that was what, and people, of course, pay dearly. They still pay dearly
yeah.
for a house that now falls apart, you know? Yeah. So, but it, you create that brilliance. Brilliance.
And when you choose yourself, right? Really,
it's when you choose yourself. Very addicting.
I worked with a wonderful futurist facilitator for years. His name was Dr. Roger Hendricks, and he had a great line that just said, the power to choose is what brings life to life. And I never forgot that. And I pay that forward as often as I can. We talked about it many times last night, because think about your situation. Anything goes to entertain and inspire. As you not only brought that out of yourself and articulated it, but then started communicating it to the world, you gave yourself the flexibility of realizing what you couldn't do. You couldn't be a part of a corporate radio station any longer,
right?
Because anything goes was something they were afraid to do.
Especially from a woman. Forget it.
Exactly.
Forget it.
So the idea was, as you saw that, okay, now I got it. But in order to bring this out, I have to have this be alive, not just on, but alive in every right. single moment. Now you've got the podcast, you've got the TV hosting, you've got the writing, you've got all the right. things that you do, and you've got flexibility around yourself by just trusting that voice and now articulating it with this verbal code that you say, this is me.
Right.
You know, I told this story. There was an actress that I met in New York. Her name is Michelle Bucci. She's a young actress. And struggling, as many actors and actresses do, and we went through the same exercise with her, and what she kind of articulated in herself was messy but likable. And what a beautiful intention, right? I'm messy but likable. And all I said to her was, again, make that your pause. Make that passion your pause, because you think you walk into an audition and they hand you a script and you read a few lines and walk out. Put messy but likable in front of the words and read it through that filter. And now you're the most unique person in that room, because no one else is reading it messy but likable.
That's your it factor.
That's your yeah. it factor. And that's all we're talking about. It's simple. But it's yeah. a way that you can get out of the way and suddenly get out of the box and say, how can I serve this moment and this moment with the flexibility like a compass, to where I'm not on one path. It's not a flat earth, but now it's an entire universe around me that I can point here, or point here, or point here, or point here.
Right.
And what I give comes back to me.
Now, talk to me let's go through one other exercise that you featured last night. There were so many, because it was just great. We would evoke such terrific conversations from them. But what was one other one that people can kind of start doing at home after listening to this to sort of generate some ideas?
Yeah, well, I think let's, you know, probably do the very first one, is because, you know, one of the stories we told last night is there's a great NLP coach, neuro-linguistic programming. Search it up. You'll find it. It's very right. fascinating. And his name is Jamie Smart. And he always starts his seminars, which I love, with a diamond on the board. And he says, we're all born as a diamond in the rough, but we cover that diamond with a layer of shit. And then he drew a circle around the circle. And he said, and then we spend our whole lives just defending and covering up the shit instead of really getting to the diamond. So what we always want to do is, you know, have people start getting out of those limiting beliefs and seeing, you know, like, what are you covering up, right? You know, mm-hmm. and it was funny how, not funny, it was actually amazing, but as we started talking to people and started really chipping away at the questions and kind of getting out of these old processes and boxes, how people saw these common themes that were rising mm-hmm. inside of them. We had a couple of people that just showed up.
Oh,
and
amazing.
Then it pops. And yeah. then, you know, what this does is, with that flexibility, it gives you more creative application. I mean, I loved, we had one girl that was talking to me about spending her life with going through depression, you know, some really yeah. bad stuff. Because this isn't always, you know, like
it's,
you know,
not all, it's
Pollyanna,
not all right,
rosy posy.
Right.
Sometimes there's bad stuff. But what came out of that was her saying, I think I can put a human factor to finding real doctors that can help, and not just another healthcare site that you put your zip code in and suddenly, you know, there's just a list to choose from that you know nothing about. So, right. you know, that was really from that side. So let's, you know, the first thing that we asked, as far as another exercise that you can do too, is just to start this process for yourself, is, what do you ask yourself? What do you ask yourself? What does that secret voice say to you? Or what do you say secretly to yourself that's about passion or that you're curious about? And then, what do you declare most often? Like to your, you know, what's that thing, that frequency again that comes up to say, this is who I am, or this is what I should be doing? Or you get frustrated because every time you say yes, it should have been a no. And there's the common theme in that. So, you know, ask yourself, what do you ask yourself passionately, and what do you declare most often passionately, in a good or a bad way?
I love that too. That was so good last night, and that brought up a lot of emotions and things for people.
Yeah.
And it really did. And I love too, you said there's no wrong answer, you know, because like mine has always been to like entertain and inspire, like, and do it on a stage, or do it, you know, and so, and do it and become famous, you know, and you're like, that's okay. Like, no matter what the answer is, that's okay.
Yeah, well, and to entertain and inspire is where you've given it a purpose to serve. That's step two, right? Anything goes is the great intention. You know, the great insight, as I shared, is make your greatest intention present in every moment. You know, keep that top of mind. Keep that there. And for you, anything goes is really it. And anything goes is, I mean, you entertain and inspire in everything you do, but you have anything goes, whether you're in your life with your partner, your business life. And that's the idea here, is this isn't, again, a facade. This is that organic, natural, beautiful, wonderful, amazing you that no matter what hits you, you know that anything goes can take you someplace else. And you're not stuck, but you're moving forward. It's like a torch you can pick up and carry.
It is a torch.
That's right.
All the time. Yeah. All the time. Sammy, you are unbelievable.
Thank you.
The first ever passion workshop, you know, we did it in Arlington for the first time, and more to come. So, and I know a lot of people, you know, loved you last night. They wanted to know more. Where can people follow, find you, if they want to reach out?
Yeah, sure. Just my website is probably easiest. It's Sammy Simpson, but just one M.
So, S-A-M-Y.
Correct. So S-A-M-Y Simpson, just like the cartoon, .com.
Perfect. You guys can also, you know, many of you are following me too, but on my Facebook page, which is Sarah Fraser, just hit pages, my public page, I'll be putting updates and events there when Sammy and I are going to have the next passion workshop in the DC area. So be looking for that. Sammy, you're amazing. Thank you so much.
So fun.
All right, guys, we will see you next time. Be sure to hit subscribe to the Hey Fraser podcast on iTunes and leave me a review. Hit 5 stars. Tell me what you love about the podcast, and we'll see you next week.